Welcome to BFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studio today is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
And the one, the only, hairless by choice, John Paul Ramos.
Good morning. Good morning.
Awesome. Give a shout out this morning to all of our listeners. We are here with you. We are not going to leave you. We are not going to abandon you. We have set up for the long haul. Unless God calls us home or they throw us in the furnace, we are not planning on going anywhere.
Amen.
Pull up. Relax. Grab your coffee. Realize nothing's taking you that's not common to man. Shake it off. Repent and move on. Give a shout out this morning to Maria. Watch out, Bronx. I can feel it. I can feel it, Maria. I can feel it. I see
She's
you boldly walk. I can see you boldly walking through the streets. What you looking at? Shout out this morning to Lakeland. Hello, Lakeland. Good morning, Minnesota. Any pop today? Any pop? Good morning, Enterprise. DK, what's up, bro? Okay, Jackery, that's enough. Come on home now. Morning. You are listening to BFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studio today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Good morning. Good morning.
Oh, we are here. It is Monday morning. This is a day to celebrate and rejoice. Why? Because our God created it. You know, somebody said, well, why would you be rejoicing a day like this? It's like, everybody's going to listen to God. You know, imagine having how you doing this morning, John?
I'm doing pretty good. Happy to be back home and on the air.
Oh, very good. Yeah, it's good to have you. It is so good to have you. It's amazing how your hair just doesn't grow, but yet it's there, isn't it? I see it grow.
It grows.
Oh, does it really?
Yeah, you should have seen me out there when I was camping. I was throwing out there a little bit there. For a haircut.
Did you take any pictures?
I have pictures, but you won't see them, but I have them.
Oh, my. You know how many people are just rubbing stuff on their head just trying to get something to grow? You know what I'm saying? You just need to transfer that scalp to somebody else and let them use it. You know, it's a perfectly waste of a good head of hair.
Nice and clean. Take all the hair off, nice and bald. That's how I like it.
Something like this, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right. We're not going to bring that up. We're not going to bring that up.
That's funny. We can bring it up.
Oh no, we're not gonna do that, Mr. Microphone. So Pat, how was your weekend?
Very good.
Was it?
Yeah.
Wow. Just good or
I mowed the grass again.
Okay, let's move on past that. Well, you know, if I had 40 acres like you, you know, I would really struggle and stuff, but I used like a pair of scissors, chip chip.
Yeah, right.
Around my Volkswagen.
Yeah.
You know, I'm always joking. I think so. I don't know about that.
Yeah.
About that for sure. Yeah. I'm getting a look. We're going to move on past that.
Be careful now. Be careful.
Yeah. Well, you know, we had a wonderful weekend. You know, we're really, it's encouraging to know that so many people are hearing from the Lord And he's given us kind of a clear instruction for, you know, where we need to go. And we're going to be talking about that today in the first and the extra hour. You know, right now with this tragedy in Aurora, Colorado, you know, we have a report available for you that on the we'll talk more about that in a moment. But also we're going to talk about gun control because understanding the Second Amendment, we're going to go in detail and we're going to talk about there's a strategy going on. And as Christians, you know, we don't have to buy into the press. We can just kind of delete that and just say, what does God say? And we're going to talk about God's word's perspective about what's going on. Because people say, well, they're not connected. They're not part of the same organization. It's Ephesians 6:12, church. Everybody that is not obeying God is walking in rebellion, that has evil in their heart. They're all in the same organization. Right. The head of it is not Al-Qaeda. The head of it is Satan. And that's how they can harmonize. I mean, you think about it. When you walk through a crowd of people that don't even know each other, how can two people in that crowd on opposite sides say the very same thing? The last thing you needed to hear was the very first thing that both of them said. That happens because they both surrendered their mouth to the adversary. They were used at that one moment to say something. Doesn't mean that they're, you know, some demonic person. This means just like Peter said to Jesus, don't go to Jerusalem.
Right.
I mean, the enemy uses, he says the tongue is set on fire by hell.
Right.
You know, the brother of Jesus said. And which means, you know, if we have open doors or empty houses, if we chose not, if we gave our life to God, but we chose not to be discipled, hello, you are a puppet. You're a puppet.
Right.
And to be frank with you, you know, I'd get discipled pretty quick because great deception is coming so quick. I've never seen so many people even profess to be Christians bring in so much doubt. You know, and it all started in the garden. It started in the garden. You know, this is exactly the same thing since the beginning of time when the serpent says to Eve, did God really say that? You know, and that's how it starts.
Right. And then one seed of doubt, one seed of second guessing.
Yeah. And then, you know, a double-minded man gets nothing from God. Guess what you're not going to get from God? And so, you know, some people say, you need to question God. I said, no, you don't need to question God. You need to obey God. When God says this is what you do, it's what you need to do it. When he says, come and reason with me, he does not want you to come and doubt his Godhead, his father, and he sent his son. No, that's not it. Mm-hmm. And then it went from there to all of a sudden, she goes right back and says, well, this is exactly what God said. But she should not have been dialoguing with the devil in the first place. If you find yourself in some conversation with somebody who is held captive by the adversary and, you know, their mouth set on fire by hell, and Jesus was almost tempted not to do the Father's will because of Peter's tongue. Do you really think because you're going to come back at them with your, you know, intellectual argument that you're going to make it out of that? Because the next thing she's after she cranked out, you know, an accurate statement, which she never should have been talking to the devil in the first place. Then he comes in at that point and he makes a statement that, well, he really didn't say that. He really didn't say this. You already bought into the conversation with him already. And so he says, he said, did God really say that? And then she comes back and says exactly what he says. And then she starts speaking to him and just kind of talks about it. And then he goes, no, he really didn't say that. That's not what he really said.
Mm.
See, this is what's going on. Let me tell you about God. And then they start bringing up some false religion. You know, and so they start telling you, well, this is what God was really saying. He was saying that if you move to celestial heaven, if you cut off somebody's head, if you blow yourself up with a vest and kill somebody with it, if this is what he's really trying. You see, he don't want you to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil because you're going to be like God.
Mm-hmm.
Like God.
Mm.
See, it's just a garden. I mean, you know, Mormonism started in America, and they really think they got they trumped something. It's an old argument.
Right.
You know, they believe you work your way to a certain point, and you become God. You know,
right.
God was a man like us. God was what was once. Brigham Young said this, God was what we now are, and God is what we will be. See, God had a God. And now that he worked his way to this place of Godhead, or to God, not Godhead, because they don't believe in the Trinity.
that eventually, we'll just put it this way. Eventually, Glenn Beck's going to be a god. Now, I like Glenn. I like anybody that's in any, you know, religion. I think they're searching for God. And I'm not against any. I'm actually, you just witness to anybody the way you would. The love of God. God loves you. Just like, you know, you need to go back and listen to Highlights. But we have a former Mormon talking on there. He said he's come to a point that, you know, no matter how good it was, he found out he needed God. Mm-hmm. And he come to himself, and he calls out to Jesus to save him, and he saves him. Now he spends his life loving on the Mormon people and helping them come out and come over and find the God that they were searching for. Mm-hmm. This is based on works, but that's the same argument that's been in the garden since the beginning, you know. And he's just twisting everything. When somebody says, "Well, this is what God's saying," first of all, even you know what we're talking about. Look in the Bible. Don't look in the Quran. Don't look in the Book of Mormon. You don't look in all these other books that have been added to the Word of God or taken away from the Word of God. Just look at the Bible, you know, whose author is the Holy Spirit. Under the unction of the Holy Spirit, these men wrote. We got to have Tracy on someday. I mean, Tracy's just intellectually and anointed to be able to connect all these parts, to be able to give our listeners a good viewpoint of the Bible and its authenticity and with evidence.
Right.
And she did that at the School of Ministry, and we want to be able to put that out for our listeners. So maybe we can talk. Hey, Tracy, if you're listening today, tell everybody we said hello, and we'd love for you to be able to do that someday for us, for our listeners, so they can defend what and why they believe in the Word of God in the context of how awesome it is and all the prophecies that were spoken and have come to pass. And it's living, it's active, it's sharper than all the wonderful things. But she has some very specific findings that's going to just, it'll really encourage you. But we pray about it. Maybe she'll hear the Lord talk to her about that. You know, we're going to be talking about today is in the extra hour is about the Second Amendment. Mm-hmm. We want to talk about it. It's the Second Amendment to the United States Constitution. You know, in your body, there's one common thing in your body. Now, if you're Pat, it's called hot sauce. right?
That's right. That's
right.
Jalapenos.
Jalapenos and hot sauce. Listen, John. Somebody had given me some jalapenos. Who was that that gave me those jalapenos? Anyway, they were so hot. They were so hot. I mean, they were so hot that when I gave them to Pat and Tracy, I gave them to them, she had to use thick plastic gloves to prepare the meal for what they were going to put in their mouths. Is that wild?
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
And she's like crying and doing them like, if you had to put like thick plastic gloves on to touch.
Didn't that be a clue?
Isn't that a clue? And then they said, oh, it was good. It's like, how does that work? How does that work? You know what I'm saying?
I know people like the hot stuff. You know, to me, I like flavor. I don't like the roof of my mouth burning, but hey, that's cool if that works for you, you know?
You know, when God healed me, when I could not even eat hot sauce years ago because of something in my digestive system, and I just never did. If I ate hot sauce or something like that, you know, it would just react and kind of like seize up or something, some weirder stuff. And so just in God's presence one night, just worshiping God, you know, not saying, heal me. Right. You know, people are like, please, focus, there, God, now, you know, that kind of, just worshiping God. And all of a sudden I realized, this is back when I was in law enforcement, I realized that I was totally healed. I didn't have to take the medicine. Wow. That's going on. But how I knew I was healed is I went to Damien's. Remember Damien's years ago?
Oh, yeah.
You introduced me to Damien's.
Yeah, did I? Oh, my goodness, yeah, man. These big, huge turkey wings. I mean, they were like chicken wings. They were like huge. So weren't they good?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
I think it was like one cup of salt on every wing and about 50 pounds of hot sauce.
Yeah.
And I could eat a whole plate of those. And believe it or not, I'm eating less today. I don't know what's going on.
Really?
I got to pray for my metabolism. But, you know, I knew that if I could eat, and so I celebrate my healing at Mexican restaurants.
Hallelujah.
My goodness. If you're in doubt and you wonder what business to get into in America, get into pizza, pasta, and Mexican food.
I know, that's right.
That's right.
Some sort of red sauce on something. and everybody's going to love it. But we're going to talk about it. It's so important to be able to talk about it, about the Second Amendment. Yes, the United States Constitution. So the mysterious carbon bond, not Pat's hot sauce, you know, bond. It's a carbon bond. I was saying, you know, what holds us all together? And when you look at and you study, you know, biology, that you find out that it's a carbon bond. If you go all the way down with your you know, microscopes and all that kind of stuff, you go down, you look, you find out that there's a carbon bond in every element that holds you together. I always say the C doesn't stand for carbon. It stands for Christ, because he tells us in Colossians chapter 1 that he holds all things together.
That's right.
We got the first letter right, but the rest of it was wrong. The anointing holds us together. And so in that, you know, so without the carbon bond, what would happen to our bodies? We would just blow. We wouldn't blow. We'd just come apart. Mm. Now I'm talking about emotional. we always do that sometimes. But I'm talking about your whole body would just kind of like, it's the glue that holds your body together. Mm. So the constitutional makeup of your human body, your constitution then, what you're made of, is your carbon bond and your DNA. The DNA has every little form, every little part of your, every cell has a strand in it, and it's called your DNA, and it has all, everything your body is made of is in that one particular cell. That's why we can explain today how can God lay Adam down and pull a rib out and make his wife or make woman, because everything in that rib was everything he's made of.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You know, DNA. And so the constitution, you know, it means what you're made of, what holds you together, you know, in your body is the carbon bond, the DNA strands, you know, and that you can see where they go and they do, what's that called when they do the crime scenes and they look for, DNA.
Is it DNA
samples? Yeah. DNA samples.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they track you down based off your DNA. And how can they do that? How can they free somebody who's been in jail wrongly accused, or take somebody to jail and lock them down and accuse them because of DNA? Is it because their constitution, what they're made of, what that person's made of, is that DNA? It's what the definition of it is, what holds you together.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, the Constitution of America, the United States Constitution, is our DNA. It's what holds us together.
That's
under
right.
The hand of God, because it acknowledges God. It's, you know, if you read the Federalist Papers and all the ones who wrote our Constitution, they were all in understanding that our rights come from God, and they wrote it down. And so that is the DNA. So when somebody's messing with human DNA, you know, it's not going to come out right. And when they're messing with the Constitution, America's DNA, our carbon bond, the C in America for that does not stand for Christ, stands for Constitution under the hand of God, then they're going to change. It's going to morph. It's going to turn into something that it's not supposed to turn into. So you got to look at and research. If they're sending people to jail and freeing people who've been wrongly accused in jail by looking at the DNA of somebody, it's that accurate. That's what holds that person together and determines how they're going to do what they're going to do and what they're going to look like and what their children's going to look like and on and on and on. Well, with that, you know, that's what the Constitution is. So when you start changing the Constitution, when you start trumping it and changing it, you're going to change what we call America. It will not be the America that you know. It'll be fundamentally transformed from its DNA, from its. So you can't mess. It's not just some outdated document that a lot of universities are saying right now.
That's right. And it'll continue to be transformed because each person and each group will continue to redefine it and will go further and further away from the original intent and what the founding fathers have, you know, instilled when they created the Constitution.
Right. And part of that, we've talked about the Fourth Amendment. You got to check it out on highlights. You know, coming from law enforcement experience, I stood in the courtrooms. You know, you're somebody's taking your constitutional rights. When they arrest you, they're saying, I understand that now I'm taking away your constitutional rights momentarily to find out whether you're innocent or not. But while you're incarcerated, while you're in jail, you're still an American citizen. And that's why you hear people saying, well, I can't believe they're doing that for these prisoners. And I can't, they're doing that for, and it's like, they're United States citizens. They don't lose their constitution. And they do go to prison. They go to prison for a period of time. Their constitutional rights used to be the second they came out of jail and served their time. and paid their debt to society, and that's what that means, that their constitutional rights were restored to them. I mean, it's so important. Even criminals got their, you know, coming back out, what they should. Once you, you know, if the society says, you know, it's a corrections institution, it's not a forever, we're never going to let this thing go thing. You know, we all, you know what I'm saying? We all need help. And so, one part of that, we talked about the Fourth Amendment. You got to find it. You got to listen to it. It's not some standard conversation. It is understanding that you got to know your constitutional rights, because they're going to take them from you if you don't, and you won't even know they took them. And you'll start complaining because you're used to things being a certain way. And now they change the way they're doing things. They change the DNA. And since you didn't know what the DNA was in the first place, you're just going to be huffy and puffy about it, but not realizing it was because your lack of involvement and reading, you know, what the Constitution says and knowing it. And that's the same. This is there. We're not going to go there, the original tenet of the church, but the original tenet of the church is the same way. Mm-hmm. That's how the church got to where we are today, because everybody quit reading the text and just started creating new things. And they're trying to change the DNA of God's people. And so with that, listen to the Fourth Amendment. You got to find out, you know, you have the right for nobody to come and search your house, search your things, your papers, which is your data. And it talks very specifically about that. But we're going to be talking in the extra hour because of what's happening and what we're seeing with Fast and Furious, with Eric Holder, the attorney general, the highest law enforcement officer in America is involved in crime.
Mm. Wow.
He's selling guns to the drug lords. He's having one of our men have been killed. Our agents were killed by a gun that he was part of getting it into their hands. And they have a strategy. We're going to talk about that. We're going to play a segment for you where our attorney general says openly that the key to changing people's viewpoint about guns is to brainwash them. Mm. Is to totally brainwash the people. Mm. And so we're also going to talk about in the extra hour is about how now our president's using the United Nations. The United Nations, and they're going to go from that angle to be able to try to change how we handle our Second Amendment rights, which is guns. And that's what we're going to be talking about in the extra hour, Second Amendment, the Second Amendment of the Constitution. And you just can't buy into all the lies and what they're saying about it. But just to let you know, in the Constitution, I don't think it's up yet, but on the Constitution, you know, you have the right to bear arms, to possess and to keep and to bear arms. And we're going to talk about that, even to a right of a militia. We're going to talk, what does that mean? So you got to stay tuned. This is very important. You know, we're not here just to be here. I mean, the last thing that we really wanted to do was to be able to do something in addition to what we were doing. But we knew that this was God for us, because we wanted to be a balanced voice for you, to let you know, even though they think they call you crazy because you're believing in the Constitution and you're believing God, realize the devil's a liar, you know, and that that's what they'll use. And they'll find other liars that'll stand by them, just like Naboth, when Naboth was doing what he was supposed to do. And they'll bring you to a place to honor you, only to put two scoundrels on the side of you to try to do you in, because it's all about public opinion. They're always had a fear of man. If I can convince enough men that this particular person who's telling the truth is telling a lie, then we can change things and do them.
Right.
So you gotta hear that. You gotta definitely hear that. But first, I want to talk about, you know, the shooting that took place. Again, we want to talk about it in Aurora, Colorado. And it was so encouraging to see the governor and the mayor of the city, senators and representatives from all over the state of Colorado, county commissioners, firefighters, police officers, city council, sheriffs and chiefs come from all around the state of Colorado to sit on a stage to acknowledge, you know, what happened, and to say that we're standing here with you. And they refused to even give make this person's name known who did it.
They just said, that was great. That really was great.
And that's what, you know, this whole stronghold over today's culture is about narcissism. It's about, you know, if I just want to be popular, I want to get enough likes where I can tell people I have enough likes. You know what I'm saying? Just as long as I get a numbers. And it's so weird. It's a different topic, different day. It's like, really?
Yeah.
Really? Anyway. So it was just beautiful how they honored them and how all of Aurora showed up, and the mayor of Aurora was there, but the governor, you know, said, you know, that we're going to stand with you. And then when the clergy got up to pray, they prayed in the name of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I mean, it was Christians praying in the name of Jesus, and it was a Jewish man praying in the name of God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And if you've been to Colorado, there's a variety of things that go on that, you know, our pastors there kind of fill us in on what's happening in Colorado. But they stood before all the world and stood before the people of Aurora, Colorado, and stood before God, and they acknowledged Jesus as Lord. And then they said, and I wanted to find it, but I didn't have time to find it this morning, but they read each of their names of the 12 victims. And they paused, and all the people of Aurora said, "We will remember." Then they would read the next name, and they said, "We will remember."
Yeah.
And it was just it just melted my heart. And I just want to let you know, Aurora, you know, we will remember. As a matter of fact, we've been preparing for this day for a long, long time. And we are bringing light to a dark area. So these things beforehand can be uncovered. And that's what we're going to talk about in the extra hour, about what's going on. Because if our head law enforcement officer is selling guns to the criminals, then any strategy is to get us all scared of guns, and then one of our officers gets shot. Is it really far-fetched, even though we don't presently have any evidence on this? If he's doing that, is it really far-fetched that this young man who had is obviously held captive by the adversary, acquired these things because they used his stronghold, his whatever, and just dealt all that to him? For why did he stand outside the theater? Why did he just stand there? And why did he tell them that it was booby-trapped?
Yeah,
you know, why did, I mean, I got 1,000 questions about this because, you know, coming from a law enforcement experience, that all is done because they want it done. They don't do it just to say they did it.
Right.
And they're wanting those things to be fulfilled. But he just comes outside the theater and just stands there. And they arrest him within seconds of being there. And the officers, I just want to say to the officers of Aurora, Colorado, that we're just so grateful for you going into the line of fire. And you know, there wasn't enough ambulances there to be able to take the wound. And there was like 51 wounded citizens that are there, and including the 12 victims. And they're running them in their cruisers. They just grab their police cars and they start putting the people in their cruisers. One officer took 6 people to the emergency room.
Oh, wow.
You know, and I just, oh, my goodness. Listen, we need to get along with our law enforcement officers. We need to pray for them. We need to partner with them because they can't do this by themselves. And where America is going, and we'll be talking more about this week, that we're going to have to partner with them. We're going to have to partner with them and work together for the safety of our communities. And that proves positive, and we just need. Iraq was in the condition that it was for so long because they had no local law enforcement. That was it.
Mm.
And the clans that were there, the different family clans that were there, were fighting against each other. And once you get law enforcement in a place, then it calms down. So we do not want to support our law enforcement officers. We want to be there, and they're there during a significant time of crisis. But I did see and hear, and I kind of read what it's about on their website. But there is an organization called Giving First. It's givingfirst.org. And they're saying that they're going to give. I can't vouch for it, but they're saying that they've been around since 1972 and that they're planning on helping the victims out. I mean, all the expenses that go into, you know, funeral costs and just can't go to work for a while. And, you know, that your loved one had possible debt and different things going on. It's time for America to rise up. And
support and help
out. Yeah, to support and help out. And so Aurora, Colorado, is we want to just keep them in our prayers. And so you can go to givingfirst.org. That's G-I-V-I-N-G, first.org. Hopefully we'll get that up on. And that's what I'm talking about because I stopped 3 times. I got to tell you, this is an exciting news. Oh, my goodness. You know, we talked about, you know, coming up with a new name for the VFN-TV blog. We're going to be right back in a moment. You got to hear it. It is totally cool. Bye-bye. The interesting thing, I guess you could say it's interesting about the Lord that you discover is he gives us a chance to join him.
Many chances.
But he doesn't force us.
Right.
He will send prophets to us. He'll say, matter of fact, I'm coming to you right now. I'm probably letting you know, if you don't know yet, that if the church does not arise, if she doesn't awake, things as we know it in the nation called America, the United States of America, is going to change. It's changing before our eyes, but a third great awakening, a massive national revival, can change it. But we can drop the ball. Mm-hmm. I mean, right now, we've dropped the ball. And if we drop the ball, God will just move. The cloud will move. It's moving as we speak into India, into China. As a matter of fact, listen to Peter Wagner and Steve Hill talk specifically about that. I'll be right back.
And say to this should not offend anyone. What is this? This should challenge you. This should challenge me. Okay, I'm a young man. Okay, and I'm speaking to many. You may say, well, you know, I'm this Peter. You're up in, I don't know, 70, 80s or whatever, but the bottom line is you got the fire of an 18-year-old, okay? and the vision. The vision, and you see the world laid out like God sees it laid out. He goes, listen, if you don't take this and run with it, if you don't take this pure gospel that I've given you, and it's simple, the gospel is not complicated. If you don't take this and run with it, I'm going to pass the ball to somebody
else. You're going to give it to somebody else. That's right.
I'm going to give it to somebody else, and they're going to run with it.
Exactly right.
That's what happened. Let me just ask you.
We need more people swallowed by whales like Jonah. He was going to take it from Jonah, but Jonah learned his lesson.
He learned his lesson, and I think revival came out of all
that's
that.
That's right.
You think about it. Why would we have to be swallowed by a whale? Why do we have to go? He said, I will not go in the middle. I will not respond to the call. I'm not going to do it. But when he finally did it, Nineveh, a great city, turned around. You don't think, and this is what this is what God told Jonah. Should I not be concerned? Mm-hmm. Should I not be concerned? Should I not be concerned about this great city? Do you don't think God's concerned about the great nation called America? He cares. He loves the American people. He wants them to know him. He wants the church to rise. But you know what? If we don't stand up, if we don't say, you know, this is me, I'm ready to do it. God, use me. Here I am. Send me. You can find out. Listen, we have been preparing for you. We have been preparing for you. You know, all the way from training you up to rightly relating you, to bringing you into the harp and bowl ministry of Revelations 5:8, so you can pray and watch and make sure, you know, that you stand in the midst of what's coming. We've raised you up in unity, what we call the due space, being able to be together continually with all the family. We raised you up and be able to get connected and rightly related and get discipled, and not only get discipled, but to go through VFNU, Vine Fellowship Network University, to train you again in the simplicity. It's so simple. It's not complicated. Religion complicates things, but it was so simple that the fishermen were doing it, and it just blew the mind of all those that invested so much in gaining so much knowledge that there were no longer any use in the kingdom of God. As a matter of fact, it reminds me of my spiritual father, Ken Summerall. This is what he says. He says two things. One is, he says, every time I began to get insecure about things when I was in ministry, when I was young, I would go get a degree. I would get more education. He said, I was dying by degrees. I had to unlearn everything I learned so that God could use me. He says something else in his book called The Flexible Wineskin. He says, listen, if it ever gets like that, I hope you, those that are related to me, I hope you will step away from that so that you can continue on with the call that God's placed on your life. Find out more at VFNfamily.org. Listen, let's do it. Let's believe God. Let's raise up for a day such as this. Don't look around for people to be your cheerleader. If they're not going to go, they're not going to cheer you on. But if you will go, if you'll be that voice, God will use you. VFNfamily.org. VFN, that's V Victor, VFNfamily.org. You know, when you think about it, there's so many people who talk about God. I mean, you think about, it's amazing how many, you would think that everybody knows God because they talk about God. But, you know, the more you find out, and once you meet God, then you find out people call a lot of things God. And it's not truly God that they're really talking about. It's their perception of what they're making. But you really don't know that until you actually meet God. And the only way to really meet God is to meet him through his son, Jesus Christ. That's what's good. That's the gospel. The gospel, which means good news, you know, it just means good news, right? It's just good. The good news is that we couldn't have a relationship with God. It was totally over outside of a bridge, of a doorway, of access to God. And that's what Jesus did for us. and he's the only way to God. And so, you know, you just got to meet him. You got to meet my Father. And if you want to meet him today, if you want to meet him through his Son, Jesus Christ, go to meetmyfather.org. That's meetmyfather.org. You can find out my story, you know, my journey, which is just kind of, you know, you think about it. I try to share as much of my story to know how bad I am outside of Jesus Christ. And I had to cut it off at some point. But rest assured that outside of Jesus Christ, there's no way. I'm just, Paul says, of the sinners, I'm the chiefest. And you think about it, you know, we all can say that. And I just thank God for Jesus Christ and what he's done for me. But anyway, if you want to meet God or find out about my journey or other's journey, go to meetmyfather.org today. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studios is Pat Hamilton and John Ramos. I want to say, just like the mayor, the governor did, I want to read the names. I want to read the names, and all of our listeners can join us, and I want to read the names. You know, we want to say the very same thing. We want to say, we will remember. We will remember. Because I want to read the name of the 12 victims who were going, and this, you have to understand this. That no man knows the day or the hour that he will pass. The question is not that will we die, the question is, you know, when,
that's right,
you know, or how.
Mm-hmm.
But it's appointed once for us to do that. And so I want to encourage you, if you are not ready right now, if you were in that theater, and if your life would have ended, you understand instantly you go before the throne room of God. Instantly. You stand before God and you answer, did you say yes to my Son? Did you make him the Lord of your life? And if you did, he says, enter in. He says, come on in, a place that I have prepared for you. And if you didn't, everybody's not in a better place.
That's right.
Everybody's not in a better place. And so you want to make every opportunity. If you're a believer, you need to tell your neighbors and your friends. You don't know what's going to happen next. And some of the things God's showing us that we'll be talking about this week, you know, get ready. If the church does not humble itself, get ready. It's not going to be good. We just want to read the names of the victims, and we want to remember. We want to remember this morning. So our listeners, you can do this with us. Just pause for a moment, even in your workplace, if you're listening. Say, listen, we are going to remember these 12 victims. We're not going to not remember them. We're not going to just move on without taking a moment to say, we remember you. We will remember this. And you say, we will remember when I say their names. The first is 6-year-old Veronica Moser Sullivan.
We will remember.
We will remember.
Michaela Medic, 23 years old.
We will remember.
We will remember.
27-year-old Alex Sullivan.
We will remember.
We will remember.
24-year-old Jessica Gowie.
We will remember.
27-year-old Navy Petty Officer 3rd Class John Larimer.
We will remember.
27-year-old Matthew McQuinn.
We will remember.
18-year-old Alexander A.J. Boyk.
We will remember.
32-year-old Rebecca Ann Wingo.
We will remember.
51-year-old Gordon W. Cowden.
We will remember.
24-year-old Alexander Teves.
We will remember.
We will remember.
26-year-old Jonathan T. Blunk.
We will remember.
And 29-year-old Air Force Staff Sergeant Jess Childress.
We will remember.
Father God, we pray for their families this morning, that you would comfort them and give them the peace that passes all understanding, and that they would know you as their Lord. Well, I want to talk to you about the top five this morning. We want to know what you're listening to and what you're viewing. But first I want to talk about Well, we'll be right back in a moment. I just want to pause for a moment here. I just feel like this moment, we don't need to jump right into anything. We just want to take a moment and just pause and think, and we'll be right back. Articulate, you know, what God was doing with us. You know, we thought, you know, how do you explain God? I mean, how do you explain family? How do you because it's just kind of hard. The paradigm shift is so huge from going to church to being the church, you know, from that building being the temple of God to us being the temple of God. And then in families, really family, you know, Jesus said when his mother Mary was outside and his brother was outside knocking on the door because they thought he lost his mind because he was ministering actually in a house and to his disciples, and they were coming to rescue him because he hadn't eaten. They're going to rescue God, John. They're going to rescue God, and that he hadn't eaten in a couple of days, and they just knew because that was their family. They thought that's my family. That's my relative in there, so he'll actually come out. And so somebody tells Jesus. He says, you know, your mother and your brother's outside wanting to talk to you. And he goes, who is my mother? This is God speaking through his son, Jesus Christ, right? He said, who is my mother? Who is my brother? And today's church will say, the people knocking on the door.
Right.
But that's not what he said. He said this. He said, those who do the will of my Father, when he was looking at his disciples sitting in front of them. We've got to recapture again the understanding of the family of God, because the truth is that if we really love our family, we're going to share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ, because if they don't know Jesus Christ, they're not going to make it into the family of God and into eternity in heaven. And so we want them to be able to make it. But, you know, we try to come together, try to come out a way to explain that. We did that with the Vine seminars. You know, that we first had a Vine seminar to be able to explain us, to take us from these mindsets of realizing that we have an awesome King and God who loves us, and he wanted family, and to that we are the ark of God, and God's presence dwells with us, and it's just awesome thing of activation, and it's an exciting thing. The Vine seminar is about, you know, Vine Fellowship Network, but also it's just grown into other seminars as well. And so if you want to find out more about Vine seminars, from marriage to personality, from, you know, what it's like just to be the church, you know, maybe you can glean from it. Go to vineseminars.com. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studios is Pat Hamilton and John Ramos. Well, I got good news for you. I got great, exciting news that I've been wanting to break to you. We talked about in the very beginning of our venture, you know, that we wanted to come up with a name for the VFN TV blog, because it's not a blog. It has so much more that's there. And so we've been, you know, praying and searching over the name, getting feedback about the name. And we have good news for you. We have gotten the name. The name has come in. We want to thank everybody that contributed to that have been praying for it. You know, we have to, because we have, it's something very important that we're doing. We're believing that for God, for a third great awakening, we're believing that the church is going to rise up, and we're carrying the torch. We feel like we're carrying a torch to be able to be a part of that, you know. And Gideon, think about Gideon's, you know, Gideon's army, what, had 300 torches, didn't they? Mm-hmm. 300 torches that was up. And it just made sense that when the name selection came in, that we would call our communication with you that carries it to the next level with videos and content and keeps you up to date with God's news, behind the news, words of wisdom, highlights, episodes, all these wonderful things. And it's going to be called, and it is called, the VFN Torch.
Wow. Awesome.
Isn't it? Have you looked at it? It is so cool.
Beautiful.
Oh, Very good. Goodness. I mean, the designer did such an excellent job and all the work they put together.
Yeah, he sure did.
And, oh, I mean, the quality of that. Isn't it amazing? It's the torch. That's exactly what this is. Mm-hmm. We're holding a torch for Jesus, for God, for the church, to show the way. Imagine being in a dark area, you know. Imagine being in a dark area and, you know, you don't have a flashlight, you don't have anything, and all of a sudden somebody shows up with a torch. And we're told, and you know, David writes in the Psalms, he says, your word is a lamp unto my feet. It tells me where I am. And it's a light unto my path. It tells me where I'm going. And we want to bring light into your life. We want to be the torch that kind of goes out with you, that stands beside you, so you can find your way in God, and the church can find its way back to the fullness of Christ and what we're called to be. and break free from all that that holds us captive. So go check it out. You can go to it at VFNTV.com and click on the torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on the VFN torch. You will love it. And they did a wonderful, wonderful job. Well, the top five on the torch, the top five stories that you are, our listeners and viewers are reading about and watching. I'm going to talk about three of them since our time is limited here. But you can always find them on the highlights because we always put that on the highlights, the top five. Mm-hmm. But again, you know, the interview with Michelle Bachmann, you know, Congressman Michelle Bachmann is revealing to us that Islam has infiltrated our U.S. government.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when our representatives, we have a representative government, you know, confronted this and said we needed an investigation about Fort Hood because it was radical Islam that this guy, you know, shouts out Allah Akbar and then shoots our soldiers while he's in a major's uniform, you know, in Fort Hood. And our president doesn't even call it a terrorist act.
Mm.
You know why?
Wow.
Because he says it's his job as the president of the United States to defend every Islam from every stereotype, to fight against it in the world. So he did not want Islam to be stereotyped by a follower of Islam who is killing our citizens.
Wow.
It fits, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's his words. That's the Cairo speech that he made, and we have that available, I think, on the torch.
Mm-hmm.
And so pray for our leaders and read this and watch Michelle talk and listen to the interview and listen to the segment of VFN Radio. It's all there for you. And most everything on the torch, we have a clip of that segment so you can listen to what was talked about in the interviews and all that. So you can if you just want to focus on that one area, it's like a highlight.
Mm-hmm.
You can listen to that one area. The second one is about the shooting in Colorado. And it gives you some up-to-date information that's there as well. And also there is an on-scene minister with VFN that's there, you know, Pastor Sharon Holderbaum, who is sharing her heart and what's taking place. Now, you got to hear, you know, what she's saying about Aurora and how the people are coming out and it just will touch your heart. We're going to be able to do it today, but time is so limited. You can hear it on the torch. And the third is that about the evidence that's being showed that this whole particular shooter have been plotting for quite some time to be able to do this as well. And the last two is Drew Brees, $100 million. He's still hanging in there. And the church, and I'm really proud of this, the church is an organism, not an organization. That's the top five. Isn't that beautiful?
Wow.
Yes.
We are
also
the body of Christ.
I also want to say to our VFN radio listeners that you can continue to share these wonderful segments with your friends and with your family on Facebook, and you can email them and post them because this word is so powerful. We need to continue to go forth and really touch a whole lot of lives. And we're really getting a lot of great feedback and people are being touched, as you can see. But it's when our listeners continue to pass the torch along that the light continues to spread all across the country and the nation.
Yeah, and we just in our first 51 days, we busted out over 10,000 encounters with VFN TV and the Daily Radio program. We'll just thank you. You guys are so encouraging us. You want to know the truth.
Want
to know the truth, and we've just begun. God has something to say about what's going on. He's got clarity. God's not confused, and nobody one over on him. And the only thing the enemy can do is lie and confuse to cause people to think that. But guess what? The light of truth, the bold word of God, you know, the God's news behind the news will just encourage you. So we have so much to say. I want to say thank you that we busted our first 10,000 encounters with our viewers and our listeners of VFN TV, the Daily Radio program. Thank you so much. We're looking forward to our next level of achievement as we believe we're going carrying a message to the world. And we will be filling stadiums with the glory of God, you know, coming up in the future. I want to take this moment, since we're coming to the last few moments of the first hour, and to share about the wisdom moment. You know, every week we talk about a word of wisdom. Of course, today is the 23rd of the month, and so we look into chapter 23 of Proverbs, and it's so important. Wisdom will fix all this. God's wisdom, no matter what it looks like, because you watch the news, and when people get frustrated, it's best not to watch them. But if you watch the news, you'll get frustrated. The reason why you're frustrated because you hear people talking about knowledge, and they're saying, grown folk, you know what I'm saying? Grown folk been around for a long, long time who can drive a car and happens to be a congressman or a senator. You know, they're grown folk, and they're saying things you think, what, you know? And what it is there's no wisdom there.
Right. That's right.
There's no wisdom there. And if it's plotting, it's deviance there.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to deceive or lie. But quite often, if you get close enough, you'll find out that more than likely there was just no wisdom. Because right. most politicians, you know, are wanting to get reelected.
Right.
But sometimes you can sit and talk with one, you know, and this is not all politicians, but you find out, like, oh...
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
You have to want wisdom in order to get wisdom.
Yeah, right.
And not push it away, you know?
It's like, oh, these paradigm shifts, like, oh, we're in trouble, God.
Yeah.
We're in trouble.
This explains a lot.
This explains a lot, man. And so, and God will let a prideful person, people lead. He will let them lead. Don't think because somebody's against God's way of doing things, or they're prideful, or they're just have their own agenda that God won't let them lead. But know this, in America, we choose our leaders.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to get to know them so you can find out, you know, if that is true or not. Well, the wisdom for today, then we want wisdom then, don't we?
Yes.
We want wisdom because if you have knowledge without wisdom, you're the only one that knows that you don't have wisdom because all you talk about is what you know.
All right.
But when you talk about it, you just go like, whoa. And see, so I'm letting you know, I'm kind of giving you a helpful hint here. We know. Now you need all to get wisdom.
All right.
It's like the universities, you know, you got universities, you got all these guys working so hard to get their education, but they have yet to apply that knowledge. And so they'll be in great debates with you. They'll talk about things. But until you walked in a businessman's shoes, you know, until a doctor's gone through surgery and been there, a lost life, until you've been there and gone through it, you don't know how to apply it yet.
Until you had a payroll, cut some checks.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you know, if you've ever been a business owner, and we've been business owners that, you know, that's a praying man, a praying woman trying to make payroll.
Yeah.
Well, today's proverb then, because we want wisdom, is Proverbs 23, verse 6 through 8. It reads, "Do not eat the food of a stingy man. Do not crave his delicacies, for he is the kind of man who is always thinking about the cost. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. You will vomit up the little you have eaten and will have wasted your compliments." Think about it. I mean, God's word is so powerful, so much wisdom, right?
Yeah.
Some people, with no wisdom, I guess, they just say, oh, look what you can get. You know, it's like, God says, don't even do that. I mean, if you have somebody that's, you're like, you know how much that costs? It's like, well, no, you know.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you ever said, so how much does that, you know, what's it cost? Well, no. And you know me, I would,
yeah.
No.
No.
You're looking right at the price tag. Is that what that is? You know, that's why I surround myself with people who know the call. Yeah. But but they're just, they're trying to look. It's sort of like when Barnabas went to go give, he sold his land and he went to go give his land, right? And he gave everything. Well, Ananias and Sapphira saw that as well. Right. And they saw what they thought, he was getting all this glory and stuff, and that obviously wasn't Barnabas. And so they go, hey, we want to do the same thing. And so they sold their property or whatever, and then they figure out at the kitchen table, you know, and that whatever it was, and they decide what they're going to give half of it and tell everybody they gave all of it. Mm. You know, and of course they find themselves lying, you know, to God, and it wasn't to Peter, and obviously they did not have the ability to text each other because he could have texted his wife as he was falling to the ground, as he was dying, and let her know, or at least somebody in the crowd could have said, hey, you better tell the truth. Your husband just hit the ground and died.
Mm-hmm.
And but they were all about, you know, it had nothing to do with what they were giving you. It had nothing to do with what they were giving God. And there are people, you know, there's people that, you know, that they're all into how much it cost. And don't you remember when I gave you a $25 whatever, or $100 this, or $100 that? And what they were doing, they're actually trying to control you. They're trying, this all other meanings. You'll regret the day when they say you'll vomit about God. You'll regret the day that you ever ate that food.
Mm-hmm.
You'll regret the day that you borrowed that.
Whatever.
Like, maybe it's
whatever.
A car. You know, maybe, yeah. Maybe somebody says, hey, I got a great vacation place for you. It's at 322 Jezebel Avenue.
Yeah.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? And there's a whole strategy there. You're going to regret the day that you sat down to eat at her table.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even though the food kind of tastes good at the point, realize there's a strategy to that.
Because there's a string attached to that gift.
You're giving with no strings attached, right?
That's right. You know, it's just like, careful, careful, careful. Because if I owe you because you gave me, then you really didn't give me. Right?
That's right.
When someone gives you something, what do you say?
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's right. You know, and if you, and that type of person that has that kind of stronghold, they'll say, you know, you owe me, you owe me, you owe me, you owe me, I own you, I own you, I own
that's
you.
That's right.
And that's when you go, blah, and you, and you give it back, right? Or you go buy him another one. It's like, oh my goodness, I thought it was a gift. Oh, what are you talking right. about? And so it's in Proverbs, the word of wisdom today is understanding, don't eat at every table that's offered you something, whether it's food or stuff or things. Understand right now there's a lot of tables being prepared in America, and the goal of that table is to get you to eat from it, but there's going to be a day that you're going to vomit that out. You're going to literally be so sick that you ate from what was being offered to you, because there's a cost involved, and they're going to bring it up, and they're going to tell you what it is. And so be careful. Be careful where you eat. Be careful where you dine, and understand that even with when you think about, you know, Jezebel and Ahab, as God tells us about them, that her prophets ate at her table.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that? They all sat around and ate at her table. And so they ate her food. Mm-hmm. They ate her food. They ate what she had to offer them. And they were her prophets, not God's prophets.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And so you got to be careful where you eat. You got to, you know, and understand this, that it's no strings attached. And if there is, you know, if there is, then you don't want to eat it because you might choke on the string, right? and sometimes you're looking at the end of something at that point when you have to explain to that particular business or group or governmental leader or whatever. It's like, nope, not going to give up that part of my life. Sorry, I thought it was just a sandwich.
Yeah,
you know, God showed me that. Remember, God showed me. I literally had a vision, a dream about that, not eating at the table where all these men were eating. He showed me all these men eating at the table of the adversary. And I was just like, I'm not going to eat this food. Something's wrong with it. And so I'm walking out of this restaurant and I'm looking in a dream and I'm looking at this food. And all of a sudden the food started moving in my hand. I'm like, see, I told you there's something wrong with that. You know? And then he showed me in that dream. We'll talk more about it in the future, but he said, you know, because I didn't eat the food, because I didn't eat the food that everybody else was eating at that particular place,
right?
That he gives you authority. He gives you authority to be able to do what God's called you to do. So just realize this, that there's nothing, only friends and people who love you actually give you something and don't expect anything in return. You don't want to be there one day saying your stomach is bitter inside your stomach because you ate something with strings attached. The wisdom for today is Proverbs 23:6-8. Do not eat the food that of a stingy man. Do not crave his delicacies, for he is the kind of man who is always thinking about the cost. Eat and drink, he says, but his heart is not with you. You will vomit up the little you have eaten and will have wasted your complaints. God bless. We're so glad you joined us in the first hour. Join us in the extra hours. We are going to be talking about the Second Amendment. Second Amendment of Rights is so important. We're going to be talking to you about Eric Holder, the president. It's going to be good. God bless. Those leaving us, VFNTV.com. And don't forget, the torch is there for you, shining the light.